More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, the green-eyed monster. Are you struggling with envy? Getting caught up in the comparison game? Feeling like God is blessing everyone else? Let us help you celebrate the plan God has for your life.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we're talking about envy on our show titled The Green-Eyed Monster. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. And let's talk it out. You know, we all do struggle with this. And we all compare ourselves to others and feel like we're coming up short in some way. We all get jealous or resentful when we see someone else succeeding in ways that we wish we were succeeding, or having things that we wish we had, or the life that we wish we had, or the relationships that we wish we had. We get frustrated when we feel like God is answering everybody else's prayers but ours. We all experience this from time to time, and sometimes we can get stuck in it. And if you find yourself wrestling with these feelings, give us a call and let's work through it together at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
You know, I think that this is such a struggle for all of us, whether we have it in the forefront of our minds and it's taking up a lot of emotional energy from us, or if it's just kind of nagging in the background and we don't think about it much, but we don't feel as fulfilled, as joyful, as right inside of ourselves as we think we should or we want to be, because we always sort of have that in the back of our minds that we're not good enough because we're not seeing the same fruit in our lives or the same experiences or the same things as we're seeing in somebody else. The flip side of this that we can also talk about today is if somebody is angry at you because you exist in the way you exist, and you're not trying to hurt anybody, you're not trying to do anything, but because you have something about you or in your life that they want, they're angry. They're resentful.
So we're being on
they're
the receiving
hurt,
end of that envy.
And you're on the receiving end of it, even though you didn't do anything.
Your best friend won't talk to you because you got engaged or pregnant.
Exactly. You know, I've gone through this in weird ways in my life. I was very, very ill the first few years of our marriage, and people would get mad at other women would get mad at me because I was too thin. They didn't realize I would like kill to put on a few pounds because I was literally on the threshold of death. And they would say very nasty, resentful things because they wanted to be as thin as me. I often got, when we were in our 20s and first married and everybody was young couples, and kind of getting to know each other and dealing with the bumps in marriage, I had at least three girlfriends say to me, "Well, you couldn't possibly know what we're going through with our husbands because you're married to Greg Popchak."
I mean, they're right, but
it's like, oh, it has nothing to do with working out the issues in our marriage either. Like, you know, he's not perfect. But they just assumed. Well. They just assumed that I had the easiest ride in the world. And one woman said, oh, you're so lucky you have a 24-hour-a-day built-in therapist. It's like, that would be really sick if that was what our marriage looked like. And people don't know what you're going through, right? Maybe you're going through a lot, but they're fixating on one thing. And you're afraid to be around them because, yeah, you have children and they're suffering with infertility. Your marriage is going okay or you're still employed and they're going through a hard time or dealing with under or unemployment and it's causing rifts in your relationship. So whether you're feeling envious or you're on the receiving end of a relationship being strained because somebody else is going through that kind of thing, it's rough. This comparison game is something that Satan really uses to undermine our own interior well-being as well as our relationships with other people.
So give us a call. Again, today the show is titled The Green-Eyed Monster. Of course, the classic name for jealousy and envy. But we're talking about those tendencies that we all have to be envious or sometimes to be affected by others' envy. So do you tend to feel like you'll never be as good as the other people in your life who do what you do? Whether that's as a parent or a worker or even a Christian, you know, because we can be jealous. We can be envious of other people's faith.
Yes, we can.
Their spiritual life, right? Are you hurting, you know, because you feel like God is giving everyone else the things that you're longing for? And even if they're good things, you know, as I was saying before, a child, a healthy relationship, more security in your life. You know, maybe you worry that God isn't listening to your prayers or that there just isn't enough grace to go around. Or, you know, as Lisa was pointing out, sometimes our relationships are strained because people are envious of us and we don't have a graceful way to deal with that. However, your life is being affected by envy. Let's talk about ways to defeat that green-eyed monster. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I can tell you one thing that's not going to work ever is if you just say to yourself, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't feel this way. I'm just going to stop it.
Well, good. There you go.
It problem won't solved. Work. It won't work.
That's the way all problems resolve, right?
Because there's something in whatever you are feeling, whatever you are dealing with in this area, where God's saying, hold on, I've put a desire there. I want to be the one to fulfill it. Draw closer to me. There's a whole plan here that God wants to help you work out in your life. So when you just say, not going to feel that way, nope, not going to do it, it's not a virtuous thing, we're also shutting out the Holy Spirit because we're not willing to work in relationship with Him to heal it.
I mean, the reality is God does have a plan to fulfill those desires of your heart. He does. And it can be hard to believe that sometimes, but if you bring that desire to Him and you pray about it and you say, you know, Lord, if it's not from you, take it away. But if it remains, then show me what to do. I guarantee you that God will either take it away or if it remains, He will show you what to do. But sometimes we need to be patient and sometimes we need guidance on how to respond to that grace that God is giving us.
And sometimes we need to work on healing those parts of us that are feeling wounded and allowing this kind of envy and desire to come up in a way that's not healthy for us.
Because it doesn't come from God. It often comes from our families of origin where, you know, there wasn't enough love or grace or, security to go around.
I'll tell you, one of the biggest places that we all struggle with in this envy idea is in sibling rivalry. Whether we're little or we're 102, there are times where we feel envious of a sibling, even in memory, where we're just like, I can't work this out. I still feel this way. So it's part of all of our lives. And Satan really wants to use it against us, but God wants to use it for our healing and for His glory. So if you're struggling today on any end of this, give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that provide a lens enabling us to see how really all of salvation history reveals God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The theology of the body reminds us that God honors the deepest longings of our hearts even more than we do. After all, he built those desires into us. We need to trust that he really does have a plan for fulfilling those desires in ways that will truly satisfy us. The problem is that because the world is broken, we don't always know how to relate in healthy, godly ways to our desires. We have a tendency to feel a desire, then come up with our own plan for fulfilling that desire, and then beg God to sign off on that plan. Envy happens when it seems like God is signing off maybe on other people's plans, but not on ours, and it makes us feel like we aren't as worthwhile in God's eyes as other people are. And the devil plays on that, telling us that there isn't enough grace to go around or that God doesn't love us as much as he loves other people.
So here's the thing. Instead of coming up with our own plans to satisfy those deepest longings of our heart, even the best longings of our heart, the first step we should engage in as we confront those desires is to bring that longing to God and say, Lord, this is what's on my heart. This is what I'm longing for. Teach me how to respond to this desire in a way that will glorify you, work for my greatest good, and truly satisfy me. Lord, if this desire isn't from you, then yes, please take it away. But if it remains, help me to be confident that you have a plan for fulfilling this desire and show me step by step how you want me to respond to it. You know, the sooner and more persistently we bring those longings and desires to God, the more we ask him to teach us how to respond to those desires and longings in ways that will honor him and satisfy us, the more we become resistant to envy, because we'll be able to see that God really does have a plan for fulfilling all the deepest longings of our hearts. And because of that, you know what? We can make room in our hearts to be happy for all the other people he's blessing as well. 877-573-7825. We're talking about envy today on More to Life. And, you know, our response to envy, other than just saying, you know, stop it, is often to beat ourselves up for having desires in the first place. You know, if I should only want God, right? I shouldn't want these things that I want. I should only want God. I mean, that's a lovely, pious idea. But here's the thing. God built those desires into us. It's his fault. I'm being silly about it. But no, I mean, he built you the way he built you. And those desires and longings are there, if they're there from him, because they point to what it would take for us to be the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled people he created us to be. And so when we give a desire to God and say, Lord, okay, you know, if it's not from you, take it away, but then it stays around, that means he wants to fulfill it. We have to assume that. And you shouldn't feel guilty for those desires or longings. You might not know how to pursue it in a way that's healthy or appropriate or good or what. But that's a different thing from feeling guilty about having that desire or longing in the first place. You know, we bring those desires and longings to God, and dying to yourself doesn't mean denying those desires or longings. It means recognizing that the way you want to pursue those desires or longings may not be healthy or appropriate or doable. And so we die to that part of ourselves. But we still hold on to that recognition that the desire or the longing is good and from God if he doesn't take it away from us, and that he wants to teach us how to do it. And that's a different message than a lot of us get.
Well, we think we have a choice between the idol that we create of a desire or a longing we have, where if not fulfilled exactly the way we have in our vision, it becomes an idol. We're hanging on to it too desperately. But then we think, well, then God has to be God in my life, so I'll give up all other desires. No, God wants to be the creator of our life story, and he wants to be the healer of our lives. And he's not going to give us a desire and say, choose between it or me, or that's it. He's going to say, let me teach you. Let me teach you how to have this fulfilled in a way that's holy and right and good and way better than you could ever plan out in your own head.
877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls and questions. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord, We bring to you all the longings and desires of our hearts. And we ask that you would take away any longing or desire that's not from you. But Lord, if it remains, then help us to be confident that that longing or desire is ultimately from you, and that you have a plan fulfilling that longing or desire, and that you want to teach it to us. Make us receptive to that plan. Help us to die to ourselves in the sense that we give up the desire to make our own way and to fulfill our own dreams and longings and desires. Make us receptive to learning how you would have us respond to those things so that we can follow your will as we work to fulfill those desires and longings in ways that will glorify you and help us be the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled selves you created us to be. Help us to be happy and joyful for all the ways that you are blessing others, and to be inspired by those blessings, to realize that there is enough grace to go around, and that as you bless others, you are helping us become, you are helping us to be confident in your plan for us and your providence for us. We ask all this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about envy on our show titled The Green-Eyed Monster. And as we were praying, we had somebody who wasn't able to stay on the line but had a question for us about her husband. She was saying, Terry was calling in to say that her husband is envious of her relationship with God and the kids, and that he tends to respond to that by being jealous of the time that she spends with God and the kids, and being critical of her relationship there. So there, you know, Terry, there are two things that I wanted to share with you about that as I was kind of praying through this just now. First of all, when we see somebody else having something, you know, we often and we're not sure that we can get it. Our initial response, rather than saying, "Wow, you know what, you have something that I would like a better relationship with the kids, for instance. How do I do that?" Instead of being humble enough to say that, we want to tear that person down and say, "You shouldn't have that relationship with God or the kids. How dare you?" Right. So if your husband is criticizing you in that way, I want you to say, "Listen, honey, I love you, and I want you to have a better relationship with the kids and with God if you want one. And if you'd like to figure that out, we can sit down and talk about it together. We can go get some help. The one thing that I won't let you do, though, is tear this part of my life down. You know, I'll help you get it. I'll work with you on it. I'll go get help with you if we need to do that, but I'm not going to let you tear this part of my life down. If you want a better relationship with God or the kids, let's talk about how we can help you do that." The flip side of that is that sometimes, you know, in this situation, a husband or a wife can be jealous of the time that you're spending with God or the kids, and what they're really saying is, I wish I could be closer to you. And maybe he's not saying it in the best way, but he's, you know, implicitly saying, you know, what about us? Where do I fit into your life? And at that point, you know, instead of responding to the criticism, saying, you know, honey, are you saying that you want more time with me? Are you saying that you want a better relationship with me? Are you saying you want more connection with me? If so, you know, instead of tearing down my relationship with God or the kids, let's talk about how we can work on our marriage and how we can both carve out a little bit more time for each other and a little more space in our hearts for each other. Because, you know, when a relationship is strained, a marriage especially is strained, sometimes we can run away from our spouse and retreat into a relationship with our kids or God in ways that are not appropriate. And we do that because we're trying to fulfill that longing in our hearts, but we're doing it in ways that shut the other person out. And then they, rather than having the courage and humility to come to us and say, "Hey, I want to work on the relationship," they just say, "Hey, you're spending too much time with God and the kids."
Well, they're reacting to what they're feeling, which right. is, I want time and a better relationship with my spouse, and all I can see is all this stuff that's blocking it. So I'm just going to be angry at that stuff that's blocking it, in this case, God and his own children. So really assessing, you know, what is it underneath this that he's trying to say to you? Promising to really be able to work on it together, because a lot of people, you know, just don't know how to get to that place of relationship with their children or with God because it just wasn't part of their upbringing and they don't even know where to start. So really being willing to walk alongside of him with that and prioritize your relationship, not ignore your kids and God, but prioritize your relationship. And really, if it's something that he needs help with or the two of you need help with as a couple, getting good counseling on this? Because if it's a bigger block, like he's actually a narcissist, that's something that will be able to be worked out in terms of a therapist being able to diagnose that and give you, you know, future steps.
Well, thank you for the question. I hope that these suggestions will give you at least the next step forward. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Catholic telecounseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. We got to go to break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with envy, whether you're the person who is envious of someone else or your relationship is being strained because someone is envious of you. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who'll be sharing some additional insights about how to overcome the comparison game. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Jesus calls his followers disciples. That's the word that we use in English. But really, in the Greek New Testament, it's the word for student. Now, you might say the school of Jesus Christ is more of a trade school or technical school than it is a liberal arts college, because in the school of Jesus Christ, you learn how to live like the master lives. But it is a school. The teacher isn't just passing along information. The teacher is passing along knowledge of the ultimate purposes of God. The master is passing along the knowledge of life and the will of God concerning man. The school of Jesus Christ is a real thing, and if we are disciples of his, we've entered into that school, and by paying attention to his teaching, we will conform our lives to his.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta for Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today our show is on envy as we talk about how to beat that comparison game. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is specializing in the psychology of success and peak performance. She's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our St. Sebastian program for performance excellence. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
We're so glad to have you with us today, and especially in your specialization of performance excellence, there's a lot of this mind game stuff that can go on with someone where you want to excel and you're seeing other people excel and you're not able to click into it the way you want. Talk to us about some of the roots of this and how to address it.
You're so right on that. And I think, you know, we really become envious when we start comparing ourselves to another person, or we compare kind of what we have to what they have, right? And ultimately, when that happens, we kind of fall into a sense of powerlessness and a sense of self-pity. So when that happens, we really want to reclaim our power by focusing on, I think, three things. First, we want to ask, what is my goal? Right? What is it that I'm trying to achieve? Second, what are concrete and achievable steps that I can take to start working towards my goal? And here I think it's also important for us to kind of recognize what resources we have or we're capable of, you know, or how we can use those resources to kind of begin working towards our goal. And then third, we want to ask, like, what strengths do I have that I can bring to this situation to achieve what I want in my own unique way? Because that helps kind of take us out of that comparison game and take us out of envy, because I'm creating my own vision of what I want rather than just constantly chasing that exact picture of what someone else has. And when we take our power back in this very intentional and achievable way, we're really able to overcome envy by focusing on how we're going to achieve what we want, rather than simply kind of focusing on how someone else has what we want.
Well, I think it's interesting, and even I see it can be applied in our daily domestic life, right? So over on the Catholic Households on Mission app, one of the things that we've seen so often is that parents will say, well, I want my family to be holy or pious or whatever, fill in that blank, in this way, because the desire was spurred by seeing another family who's stirred up that desire in us that we want to be more like. And we've tried to apply the things they do, and it doesn't work because it's not our family. So actually figuring out what that vision is we really want for us personally, and then working on the personal steps instead of what somebody down the other end of the pew is doing, can really change the whole picture, can't it?
No, it's a perfect connection for that, you know, and because when we are just looking at what we see that someone else has, we're also not seeing the full picture, right? We're seeing that at face value, but we're not seeing the details behind that, the work behind that, their sort of purpose or why they're doing what they're doing. And so when we can kind of recognize, okay, I see that at face value, but I don't see the details, let me figure out what my details look like. Let me figure out what that's going to look like for me, because maybe I want something similar to that. Or again, you know, I have a goal that looks like that, but maybe I don't want exactly that same thing. And so when we can kind of figure out what those details are, what those steps I can take to help me achieve what I want to achieve, I can create that picture that I really want for myself or for my family.
Rachel Isaac, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate your insights. And if folks would like to learn more about her work, you can go to CatholicCounselors.com and check out the St. Sebastian Program for Performance Excellence. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825 about envy, jealousy. Are you struggling with envy of something someone else has or who they are? Is your relationship being affected by envy in some way? Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we loved to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Not all sin is equal. Sins can, says the Catholic Catechism, be distinguished in gravity according to their objects, to the virtues they oppose or the commandments they violate. The root of sin lies within man's heart, Jesus declared. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These, said the Lord, are what defile a man. On the other hand, charity, the source of all good works, also resides in the heart. The gravest of sin, mortal sin, destroys charity in man's heart by a serious violation of God's law. Mortal sin requires three conditions: grave matter, full knowledge of that gravity, and complete consent of the will. Because mortal sin turns man away from God by preferring an inferior good to God, it should be brought to confession. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. No matter how old our kids are, they'll always want our love. They'll always crave our approval, a word of encouragement, any sign that lets them know that we think they're showing some strength, doing something right, or at least trying to pursue something worthwhile. No matter how damaged a relationship, every adult child wants to know that their parents are proud of them for something. We need to remember this. It's critical that parents of adult kids look for the good intentions behind the things our adult kids are doing and try to express our pride in the efforts they're making to pursue those good things. That can be hard to do, especially if we disapprove of the way they're pursuing those intentions, but learning how to do this is the first step in being mentors to our adult children. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled The Green-Eyed Monster, as we talk about how envy impacts our hearts, our spiritual life, and our relationships. Whether we are the people struggling with envy, because we all do, let's face it, you know, all of us are afraid that we'll never be as good as other people who do what we do. Whether that's parenting or our profession or even the Christian life, you know, all of us hurt because we feel like God is giving everyone else the blessings that we're longing for. You know, we all worry that God isn't listening to our prayers or that there just isn't enough grace to go around. And we do all get jealous of other people. And then sometimes it's the other way around, you know, where our relationship with somebody is affected because they're envious of us. And that's always really painful. How do you respond to that? You know, it's a common human problem, and we all wrestle with it, but the good news is we don't have to suffer through it. There are ways to break free of that trap of envy and the comparison game. And however envy is affecting your life or relationships, let us help. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Or perhaps you don't really think of it as envy. It's just an old wound that keeps coming up. Perhaps, you know, your childhood, you and a sibling just did not get along. You just had that sibling rivalry running under everything, and you're thinking, we're grown-ups now. This doesn't affect us at all. And then all of a sudden, there's the get-together. There's the comment from another sibling or a parent or a relative, and the twinge is still there, and you're thinking, why do I still dislike this person? Why do I still deal with it? Well, I don't really dislike them, but if they're just this, there can be things underneath that just come up occasionally, and God just wants to heal them for you so that you can have the joy, the peace, and the relationships that you are longing for. Give us a call today if envy is raising its ugly head in your life in any way, shape, or form. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Let's go to Dee Dee, who's calling for EWTN in Ohio. Hey, Dee Dee, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today? Dee Dee, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, what's your comment for us?
Well, first of all, I want to give an advice. Number one, we shouldn't compare herself with other people. That's a big thing not to do. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to pray for what we want. And believe me, if you pray and even writing things down, write it and ask God for what you want, and believe me, your prayers will be answered. When I came here with my a North American husband to the United States, I noticed that I had friends that were friends of my husband because I knew nobody. And one of the girls that was in the circle told me that she didn't want it to be with us anymore because we were having babies and she wasn't. Was kind of like I couldn't understand it. So there's a lot of jealousy and envy, and we need not to compare herself with other people.
And of course, you're absolutely right, Dee Dee. Bless your heart. I mean, you're absolutely right. The problem is there are lots of things we shouldn't do, right? And we end up, we do them anyway. You know, we shouldn't be jealous of other people. We shouldn't compare ourselves to others. But because we're all broken and sinful people, we can't help it.
And so, sometimes, as in the situation with the friend, your husband's friend that you're talking about, it's not that we're necessarily comparing ourselves or, you know, envying in some way that says, I want to be better than that person. It's that when we come in contact with another person's life, it draws out our woundedness. It says, well, I'm dealing with this wound or this struggle, and the light of that person's life, it's making it more painful. So it's not necessarily, most of us don't define that as jealousy or envy, but it's a wound that we don't know how to address, so we remove ourselves from that situation rather than say, Lord, what do you want me to make of this?
So the point of the show here is certainly not to encourage people to be envious, but it's also to realize that it's more complicated than just saying, don't be
envious.
Don't
do that. Yeah.
And the process that we need to walk through, and I'm going to use your friend as an example here in just a minute, but the process we need to walk through is to identify what is that longing of our hearts. Number two, to give it to God, like you're saying, Lord, you know, if this isn't from you, then take it away. But step three, if it does remain, then we have to assume that it is from God and that he does have a plan for meeting it. Now, if somebody we care about is envious of us, like your friend, you know, when you started having children and she was struggling with infertility, a way to respond to that is first of all to empathize with her and say, you know, I'm so sorry that you're going through this, and I can understand how painful it must be to feel like God is giving us something that you want. But then the next step is to say, but you know what, and I don't know if you can hear this or not, but when we see other people getting the things that we want, it's not a sign that there's not enough grace to go around or that God isn't going to answer our prayers. It's a sign that God is wanting to answer our prayers, that he's letting us know that this is possible and that he wants us to desire it and to continue to come to him to ask how he wants to fulfill that desire. Would you like me to pray with you about this? And then we help that person bring that desire and that pain and that anger to God. We are that godly friend to them, if they'll let us, that helps, that walks with them through that pain that even our own life is causing them. Mm-hmm. And we help them bring all that to God so that he can lead them through it. And if, you know, if our reaction is just, well, you know, we shouldn't be jealous of each other, then that causes them to withdraw from us, and that causes us to not know how to accompany them. But if we're walking through the process that we're talking about here today, we at least have some ways to begin to heal those relationships that are being impacted by envy, because we're able to say, you know, this isn't a sign that God is blessing me more than you. This is a sign that God wants to bless all of us. And he does have a plan for your life. You know, let's give this desire to God together, and let's see what he teaches us both about how to respond to this, because I would really like to walk with you through this. And I understand if it's too painful, and I understand if you can't be around me for a time because you feel like God is blessing me in ways that he's not blessing you, but I would really love to be part of your life. And I'd love to be able to walk through this with you and bring this to God and be a support to you through it if you'll let me. And then it's up to them. But at least we have a way to be compassionate to that person in their pain, rather than just, you know, either getting our backs up or saying to them, you know, you need to stop that.
And compassionate, and also a way to give them the partner that will help really pray along with them as you go through this with them. So often when we're feeling that sense of, I've got to flee from this person because they're making the wound that I'm carrying, the struggle that I'm carrying, worse just by their existence, we're also removing ourselves from somebody who can really be interceding with us, walking along the way with us, helping us to figure some things out. So really saying, I want to be a companion to you, I don't want to just lose you because of our present situation, is a really charitable and loving thing to do.
Dee, thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. Some really good insights about how to bring our desires to God. But I just want to invite you and all of our listeners to have a more nuanced relationship with envy and how to approach it more effectively. 877-573-7825. We're talking about envy today on More to Life on our show titled The Green-Eyed Monster. As we explore both those times when we are envious of others, you know, even envious of good things, you know, like we were just talking about with our previous caller, the envy for a child or for to be married or to have a healthy relationship or to have security in our lives. or to be accomplished in something. And when we see other people having those things, it hurts because it makes us feel like we're not measuring up, or that God doesn't love us as much as he loves them, or that there isn't enough grace or blessing to go around. And all of those messages, as much as we fall prey to them all the time, they're not from God. They're from the enemy, trying to discourage us, trying to tell us that God doesn't care about us, or that he doesn't want to respond to us, or he can't respond to us because somehow the grace bank is overdrawn. But that's not true. You know, God wants to fulfill the desires of your heart because he built those desires into you. And as long as we're giving them back to him and saying, Lord, take it away if it's not from you, then if that desire remains, he does have a plan. So let's explore that plan together today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans 8:28, and we're all familiar with this verse, but I want to unpack it just a little bit here.
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
I think most of us are encouraged by this verse, but I have run into some folks who kind of take this to mean that St. Paul is saying, you'll get what you get and you don't get upset.
Oh, boy, do right? I dislike that phrase.
No, but I mean, some people can take it that, you know, we say it's all going to work for the good. So just, you know, suck it up. That is not what St. Paul is saying here in this verse. And he's reminding us that God does have a plan for our lives, and it will be satisfying, not just in the next life, but in this one as well. But that we have to keep bringing it back to him and saying, Lord, teach me how to respond to this desire. Teach me how to respond to this situation. Show me what next step I need to take so that I can have your plan fulfilled in my life, so that this can work for my good, so that I can respond to the call that you've placed on my heart to serve your purpose. You know, it's not that we'll get what we get and we don't get upset as Christians. It's that we bring those longings and desires to God with the confidence and hope that our Heavenly Father wants to give good things to us. Doesn't Jesus say, if we who are evil can give good things to our children, how much more can your Father in heaven do good for you? That he wants to respond to those desires in an even more generous way than the best parent in the world could respond to their child's desires. But we need to be in constant dialogue with him about what that looks like and what that means and what response that requires from us. Because even more than satisfying those longings of your heart, what God wants is a closer relationship with you. And that happens by bringing those things to him every day and asking him to teach us what to do next to respond to those longings. And this all sounds great, right? But how does it play out in your actual life? How can you manage those desires where you're feeling envious because you feel like you'll never be good as other people at what you do? You're hurting because you feel like God is giving everyone else the things you're longing for. You're worrying that God isn't listening to your prayers, or there just isn't enough grace to go around because this thing that you've wanted for a long time, and when I say this thing, I don't mean material things necessarily. I mean even the state in life, you know, marriage, child, security, a sense of healing or accomplishment, whatever it is. All of those desires are good things, but we don't necessarily always know how to respond to them in healthy ways, in the way God wants us to. So let's talk about that. And also, you know, the other side of it is if your relationships are being affected by envy. You know, someone is envious of you and they're pulling away. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions, comments, and insights on the other side of this break.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
It's extremely, I think,
hypocritical. It's awful. It's so frustrating to hear these big companies saying they are so proud to pay for abortions for the employees, even pay for transportation, pay for the abortions, up to $10,000 some companies are willing to spend to send their employees to get an abortion in states that would still allow it, such as New York and California, and of course right now with all the shenanigans going on in Michigan. But what about health care? What about what about maternity care for moms? What about backing moms in other ways in the workforce as opposed to pitting them against their children? I mean, think about how sexist that is and how undignified that is to say to a woman, you can go get your abortion and then you can come back to work in a day or two. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck from More to Life. Only 15% of Catholic kids stay Catholic. What caused them to stay when 85% of their peers leave the church? Join Greg and I as we answer this question in our new free webinar, Against the Odds, the Key to Raising Faithful Catholic Kids. It's happening on Wednesday, February 8th at 7:30 Eastern. Sign up today at CatholicHOM.com/webinar. Again, it's free. That's CatholicHOM.com/webinar. Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. And today our show is titled The Green-Eyed Monster, as we talk about our struggle with envy, that tendency to feel less than others, to compare ourselves to others, to feel jealous when other people get the things that we're looking for, to feel like God isn't answering our prayers, especially when he's answering others. How do we deal with that gracefully? And for that matter, if your relationship is being affected because somebody's envious of you and withdrawing because of the good things that are happening in your life, we want to talk about how to manage that gracefully as well. 877-573-7825.
We have a message from Jenna, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey. She said, my husband of 3 years is always telling me that I should call his mom to ask for advice on how to run a house well or for her recipes. He doesn't come right out and criticize me, but definitely feels like criticism. I feel put down and not good enough. Now we are expecting a baby in 6 months, and I'm getting scared of being compared to his mother in raising our baby. How can I handle this? And that's Jenna listening to EWTN in New Jersey. Wow.
So look, I mean, you know, I guess there are two sides to this, okay, right? So on the one hand, there's nothing wrong with someone, you know, whether it was you or your husband, you know, liking the things that you liked in your family of origin and wanting to be able to carry those things on into your own, you know, marriage and family life. Right.
Right? Those comforts, those different
recipes,
traditions, those are all lovely ways. And frankly, for generations, we did, you know, mentor each other woman to woman. But obviously he's presenting this in a way.
Well, and that's the other side of it. I was going to say that it's not necessarily a problem that he wants those things, and maybe, you know, and even that he doesn't know well enough how to do them himself. So he's saying, "Hey, could you talk to my mom about that?" What I see as the problem here is that he's not affirming what you are doing enough.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's not that, you know, oh, I really like things from my family of origin. I'd like to recreate those in our family. It's I'm not valuing, or at least I'm not, you know, openly acknowledging, you know, what I like about you and what I like about, you know, what you're, the gifts you're bringing to our home. And I would talk to him about that, because I think that what will often happen is we end up having the wrong conversation, right? You know, I think the temptation for you, Jenna, in this situation is to say, you know, stop comparing me to your mom. You know,
I'm trying so hard, and all I'm getting is that she's somehow better, because that's our interpretation.
And you end up making it about her, which then gets him defensive, okay? So he feels like he has to defend his mom, and why are you being so mean to his mom? Because she hasn't done anything. The conversation you need to be having is not about the mom. It's about, listen, I appreciate that you want to have these things, and I'm fine with that. I'm happy to talk to your mom. But what I guess I don't really feel like you do appreciate the things that I do bring. And it would really mean a lot to me if you could affirm me more. in the things that I am doing for you, in the ways that I am caring for you, in the things that I am doing. Because you know what? It's tough learning how to be, you know, a new wife and a new mom, and I really need you to build me up.
Well, and there are a couple of things with this. You know, first of all, ask him why. You know, just why? Why are you asking me to do this? Your assumption is a comparison, or that he's running you down. We don't hear the tone of his voice or the times when he's doing this. Your assumption could be correct. But he could also just be saying, hey, I would love it for my mom and my wife to be best friends. And if, you know, my mom could take her under her wing, we could have this big, happy family. It could have nothing to do with comparison, unless we ask the question why. And then...
Just to refine that point, rather than why, what would it mean to you? Because the why can come off as defensive, right? But it's just, what would it
Fair
mean
point.
To you if I were to talk to your mom? How would you think that we'd benefit
That's
from that?
That's a great
right?
Sorry, way to so put I, it. But the other situation here is that many of us, when we hear the kind of advice that Greg just gave, which is, you know, we're thinking that we're being compared. We're thinking that, you know... We get so defensive, and we think that if we have to say to our spouse, I would really like it if you affirmed me, that somehow that negates their affirmation. Well, if I had to tell him to affirm me, then it's not real. Yes, it is. You're a couple that's just 3 years into doing this, and I'll tell you, even when you're in it for 53 years, there are going to be times where somebody needs to be told, hey, this is something I need, because it just doesn't occur to them naturally. They assume, because you're together every day, because you're loving in different ways, that you feel affirmed. So don't negate the fact that you might have to say to him, I need you to affirm all this that I'm doing for you, the meals that I make, the work that I do around the home, the ways that I try to show you that I love you, before you just tell me to go call your mom. So it's a conversation that you need to have in a very non-defensive way.
So thank you so much for the question, Jen. I hope that those suggestions will at least identify the next step forward. You know, again, don't when you talk to him about it, don't make it about, you know, being envious of his mom or assume that he's comparing you to his mom. Make it about the fact that, you know, yes, you're happy to learn, you know, whatever those things are that he would like to bring with him from his family of origin into your family, but that you need him to affirm you more, and you need him to build you up more. And we talk more about this in For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, in the chapter on love styles, where we talk about, you know, why some people need to hear those things, right, and how to really build that up. So For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage is a great way to follow up on the call. You know, as we're going into the final minutes of the program, just want to walk through this. Again, we all struggle with envy, and all of us, I think, especially, you know, from our families of origin, kind of get the impression that, you know, there's only so much to go around. And so if God is giving this to my brother or sister in the Lord, clearly I'm not going to get it. You know, we feel like those kids on Christmas morning that we wake up and then the brother got this great gift and, you know, we got a rock.
Or the best friend down the street or whatever that was. Yeah.
But we need to give up that kind of Charlie Brown thing and really realize that God has infinite resources, and that if he's placed that longing on your heart, and if you've humbled yourself to give that longing back to him and say, okay, Lord, if this isn't from you, then take it away. But if it is from you and it does stick around, then show me how you want me to respond to this, then you have to assume he does have a plan for fulfilling it. Now, because we're broken and because we're sinful and because, you know, we see through the glass darkly, as St. Paul says, we don't often understand how best to fulfill those desires. We often don't see a way to fulfill those desires. But if they remain, once we've given them back to God, he does have a plan. And what he's asking us to do is to come to him every day to learn how to do it. Not because he wants to string us along or torment us, because he wants a relationship with us. And we only learn to have a relationship with him by coming to him every day and saying, okay, now Lord, what's the next step? Because otherwise, we just run off and do things on our own. And we end up making a mess of it all. And he doesn't want any of that. He doesn't want us to be alone. He doesn't want us to make a mess of it.
He doesn't want us to be hurt.
So he asks us to come to him. And sometimes when it seems like it's taking too long, it's because maybe we've been trying to do things on our own for too long, and that he's really inviting us into that deeper relationship so that we can figure out how to do things with him. And that can be a hard lesson to learn, but I can promise you that if we're willing to take it on, God will grant you the desires of your hearts in ways that will help you become everything he created you to be and draw you into deeper communion with him.
So when you feel that tug, just remember, God's using it to call you into relationship with him. We can either cling to that thing so badly that we push God away, or we can say, Lord, I know you're calling me into deeper relationship with you. Show me what you want me to do with this desire.
If you're still struggling with this, though, we can help. Reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about all the resources we have, especially the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com, and then get out there and celebrate the life God has in store for you, because you know what? With God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed, blessed day, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.